Rumble 2021 came and went, and New York just received 18 inches of snow. We'll hope you're staying in, locking down, right out the storm with us, because a whole new episode of the Wrestling Guys podcast starts right now. Coming to you from the forgotten borough of Staten Island, New York, this is the Wrestling Guys podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of the WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my man Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. the Messiah, the Backbreaker. Riding out the storm, we have two new winners of the Royal Rumble. One old, one new. And you know what we got to do? The virtual clink, because we're keeping things safe, as usual. And we hope you're doing the same with us. How you feeling, man? How'd you make it out of the storm?
I survived. Was it really 18 inches?
That's, I believe it was just about 18 inches. I like to make it worse than what it is, but I believe it was, I think it was actually about 18 inches for sure.
I mean, I didn't miss any days of work. I worked half the day on Monday because it was getting worse in the afternoon. So I was like, yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah. I mean, it's tough to drive the road. The roads were terrible. I think we're supposed to get more Sunday into Monday, I heard.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at three to five more inches. I mean, this is the first snowstorm we've had, like a bad snowstorm in a while that I can remember in the last few years.
Couple of years, yeah.
Luckily, I'm working remote, as a teacher right now. My school is shut down. So, we kind of rode out the storm, went out a few times, shoveled, the same old, same old. It's nice that my kids actually are able to enjoy it this time around. But yeah, man, I hate the winter. There's just, give me summer or spring any day of the week. Dude, I hate the snow. I hate the cold. I'm just waiting for this to be over.
Well, I'm the opposite. I hate the summer. Every time summer starts, I can't wait for it to be over.
Give me sun. Give me the heat. Give me the beach.
No way.
No jackets, no hats, no gloves, no goddamn snow on the floor.
I understand the snow is annoying, but I cannot tolerate the heat. I hate it so much.
With that being said, though, winter's upon us. We're in February now, Black History Month, props to my peoples. January had just left us. We are a week away from the Super Bowl. And the week before the Super Bowl, we had our Royal Rumble. We both said it's our favorite pay-per-view of the year. 2021, two new Royal Rumble winners. Like I said, one new, one, I don't want to say old because I don't want to disrespect the man.
But a two-time, a previous winner.
A two-timer. I got to tell you, I was not upset with either winner. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think the show was good from start to finish. The women's Royal Rumble match, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but it seemed a little all over the place.
Oh, I agree.
I'm glad Bianca Belair won. Her and Rhea Ripley were the last two, and Rhea Ripley was actually my pick to win. At least I thought she would win. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that Bianca got the win. I think it's good. For not only for her, but it's good for the women's division, to have a fresh face up there and challenge. I don't know who she's going to challenge. We still got a couple of pay-per-views before WrestleMania, so anything can happen until then. But I don't know who she challenges. And as far as Edge winning the men's, we talked about it in our previous episodes that it was up, very much up in the air, and it was tough to pick. I had kind of sided with Daniel Bryan. But as the match went on, I felt more and more that Edge was going to win it. I don't hate the decision, but as I was looking at it after it was over and I was thinking about it, and I was like, he was the only logical choice. I mean, who else really was there to give the win to?
It was either him or Daniel Bryan at that point. That made sense to me. I mean, I know, first of all, I hate to backtrack, but I did pick Bianca Belair in the beginning to win. I'm just going to say that. I did kind of fall off as the weeks went, though. I was looking like a little, which really pissed me off because, it looked like Alexa Bliss was having a lot of momentum. Then she came in the Royal Rumble and immediately got eliminated, which pissed me off. Yeah. I thought that could have been done a little bit better in that respect. I thought Bianca Belair going over made what was fantastic. The fact that it was her and Rhea Ripley as the final two. Two up-and-coming stars. And we had said this before when we were talking about having the Royal Rumble being used to elevate a new star.
Yeah.
And we said, for the men's, maybe this would have been the year for like a guy from NXT to come up and maybe even the women's. And I'm glad they went that route. because Bianca Belair just felt like, to me, what they should be doing, and I'm not trying to get like on a tangent here, but what they should be doing with NXT call-ups going forward. So you have your NXT fans that are there, right? And people who come up, you know, day after WrestleMania, day after a big pay-per-view, you know, you do have that, you know, initial crowd reaction that knows who they are. But then you have those fair-weather fans that are like, who the hell is the Sami Zayn, Bianca Belair that are coming from NXT? And right. When Bianca Belair came up after WrestleMania, the night after, which there was no fans in the building, but it's like, oh, I go here now. Everyone knows who Bianca Belair is if you're a fan. Now, if you're a guy who watches it from time to time, what'd they do? They built her up on Raw with the Street Profits a little bit. She fell off for a little bit, was doing the main event thing. She comes to SmackDown. And they start cutting, and even before she went to SmackDown, they were doing these little vignettes where how she's the EST, and she was doing all these little sports things, track, basketball, whatever. And they were building her up to her eventual move to SmackDown. It's like, okay, great. And then they put her in this little mini feud with Bayley right before the Rumble. She got a big win. And then now when she wins the Rumble, it's like, oh, cool, we're establishing a new star. And I think this is, you know, for all those NXT people that end up flaming out or ones who end up floundering because they're like, well, what do we do with them once they're up here? Because the luster wears off. That's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that she won. I love that her and Ripley, because at that point when it was there, either one that would have won, I would have been happy with. It was the final two. And I'm glad that Charlotte was in there too, because, you know, a call back to last year when Charlotte won the Rumble and she went to NXT and showed up and they had that little three-way face-off right before, you know, Bianca Belair. She doesn't even go here. And she had that little match right before, you know, her and Ripley faced off. So that was nice too. I don't know if it was intentional, but there's your storytelling there. You know, you have a callback from last year. Now you're playing it into this year. They both team up to eliminate Charlotte, last year's winner. You know, I don't know. I'm really glad they chose who they chose as their final three into the two and then the eventual champion in this case, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think, just speaking from obviously – we can only speak from a fan's perspective here, but it was the right call. I think either her or Rhea, either one would have been the right decision. I can understand them giving it to Bianca because she is already on the main roster and Rhea Ripley's still in NXT. So I get that part of it, but...
Rhea Ripley has to be a main roster call-up right now, I think.
I think she will be soon. Probably, you know, one of those after Mania... call-ups, but where does she
see you before, to be honest with you?
Well, I want to touch on that. I want to circle back to that later on, but because I have some thoughts on the three brands, but who does Bianca Belair challenge? Who do you think she goes after?
I think it's going to be Sasha Banks, hands down. You know, I think the fact that she's the first woman of color to win the Royal Rumble. Sasha Banks is another woman of color. And you have that just black excellence in the ring going on. I mean, I think that's going to be, I think the story writes itself. I think that's going to be a phenomenal matchup for both of them. And Asuka, for as good as a champion she is, she was doing the tag team thing with Charlotte. Now, like, she doesn't seem to have any viable contenders on Raw. So maybe, she does go back. But I think they want Bianca on SmackDown because they see her as a future superstar. And I think it's her and Sasha who's their biggest star right now on SmackDown. I think that story writes itself right there, man.
You know? Yeah, it seems like the logical way to go for her. I would think, we've seen face versus face, heel versus heel, you know, millions of times. I think it would probably be better served to have Sasha go heel for that match, but we'll see what happens.
You know, I don't necessarily think you need her to go heel. Sasha is a great heel, don't get me wrong, but I mean, you know, you just had the face turn with her. I can see Sasha with a bit of a tweener. Will she, won't she? She's the champion. Maybe she's like talking down to Bianca, like she's not on her level. You know, one of those type deals. I don't think she needs to go full-fledged heel for this. I think at the end, it'll be more about the respect factor. Like, you know, Sasha just keeps talking down to her on some, you know, you're not on my level, blah, 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 blah. And then whoever comes out on top, you know, you have a nice handshake, maybe a hug at the end, you know, and then it's like, well, you know, similar to Goldberg telling Drew McIntyre he passed the test, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. We could talk about that. But yeah, I think it is. I think Sasha Banks the way to go. And I don't think she needs to go heel necessarily, you know, but I think there will be heel elements to her, maybe promos character leading up.
Right.
I mean, speaking about, I think you had just said it before, the women's rumble was all over the place. And our watch along series, you saw that how we were timing it for 90 seconds to see if it was actually a minute and a half or 2 minutes. There were some, and we were texting throughout this match, and we were like, dude, that definitely wasn't 90 seconds. It felt like some of them felt like they were 10 seconds. And, it's us exaggerating here, but cage side seats actually timed out each woman's entrance and the times. And from what they saw, and it doesn't feel like this, so I'm going to have to go back and watch this again. But according to cage side seats, 7 of the 28 waiting periods fell within 5 seconds of the 90-second actual time limit, right? Mm-hmm. 14 of the 28 periods came within 10 seconds of the goal. The average waiting time between entrants was 1 minute and 47 seconds. But 6 of the waiting periods lasted at least 1 minute and 55 seconds. So, and they actually broke it down here. So the waiting period between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte was actually 2 minutes, not 1.5 minutes. The one between Tori Wilson and Lacey Evans was 1 minute 57. The immediate one after that was 2 minutes and 36 seconds. That's when Ric Flair came out, followed by Lacey Evans. 1 minute 57 when Mickie James entered. The waiting time between Tamina and Lana was 2 minutes and 19 seconds. And then the very final one with Natalya between 29 and 30 was a whopping 3 minutes and 27 seconds there.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they counting that from?
From when the person enters to when the next person enters.
But enters the ring, or when the clock says zero, they come out and then they start?
Well, for me, I time it for when the clock says zero. I restart the clock again. Right. Uh-huh. So I'm guessing that's when they do the same thing as well. But that's when Nia Jax had entered and her and Shayna Baszler were like teaming up and they did a full 3 seconds there. So, I mean, we said it was all over the place, but you're talking about over 3 minutes waiting time. Not like it lagged or anything. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just saying, for me, it's a point of trivia here to be like, are these things legitimately 90 seconds? And I feel like this Rumble and last year's Women's Rumble in particular, not the men's, their timing seems to be more off than the men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it definitely felt shorter. Like that. Actually, there were times where I felt like only 20 seconds had gone by. And right. I was like, the next one's coming out already. But all over the place, I hate for this to sound disrespectful because I'm not trying to be, but it felt sloppy. A lot of the Rumble spots just felt very sloppy.
Is it because they were women, Chris? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm kidding. Okay. I know what you mean.
You know, I mean, there was some good moments in it. I mean, I think Jillian Hall coming back was funny. I got a laugh out of that. I would have liked to have seen them do more with Alexa. But I thought Billie Kay was actually maybe the highlight of the Rumble without really doing much.
I thought she was the MVP of the whole Rumble.
Yeah.
And not in terms of physicality, performance.
No, just what she was doing.
What she was doing. She didn't want to come in. She sat at commentary, did commentary. Then every girl that came out after, she gave her headshot and resume, wanting to team up. And then finally her and – and I actually thought they were going to wait for just Peyton and Royce to come out. But they actually did a spot with her and Jillian Hall, which was great.
Billy and Jilly. Yeah, it was funny.
Jillian Hall actually had just had a baby and appearance for a Rumble, so kudos to her, man.
Wow.
And it was good to see somebody different, like, you know, and no disrespect to Molly Holly and all those girls, but like bringing in other, I would have loved to see Melina in this Rumble, but you know, having Jillian Hall, having Victoria, long overdue, man. Victoria, to see her, you know, those guys, Tori Wilson again, which I was surprised. I thought she had retired from in-ring competition after following the first Rumble. You know, and my one surprise too, who I feel like maybe she filled in for Mia Yim, was Santana Garrett.
Yeah,
I haven't really seen her on
NXT a lot.
Yeah, the TV a lot. And Mia Yim had tested positive for COVID about the day before, so she got pulled. So, I mean, it was cool to see her, though, somebody different, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that it was there on it, and can't forget Alicia Fox with her 24/7 title win and subsequent elimination. But, yeah, you know, I do agree. And in terms of sloppy, and I don't think necessarily, well, at least for me, from my perspective, not in terms of the ladies performing in the ring. I thought the camera work was not that great, man, because there were a lot. There were some eliminations that you totally missed. They missed the Bayley elimination.
Yeah.
I at one point, I think I maybe got up to get a drink. I came back and I'm like, where did all the ladies go? Like half of them got eliminated, but none of the cameras picked it up. Yeah. And then they didn't go back to see like, oh, they had to go back for the Bayley elimination because she came in at number one. She's one of the biggest wrestlers. But, you know, like I was like, where the hell's the Riot Squad? Like, when they get eliminated? And I was like, you know, like, they didn't go back to even touch on, oh, Ruby Riot and I saw the Liv Morgan elimination, but like, oh, Ruby Riot got eliminated. Like, they didn't bother to touch on that stuff. And I think from that perspective, like a production perspective, it was a little, like, sloppy, like a little over the place. I do agree.
And that's something that Dolph Ziggler complained about last year when Edge made his return and speared Dolph. And Dolph was like, how do you miss that on the camera?
Right. Yeah. That's either too, like even a few years ago when AJ Styles made his debut at the Rumble, they had a tight camera shot on Roman Reigns' face squinting at the Titantron. Yeah. And by the time they cut back, the crowd is going ballistic. We're like, what the hell's going on? And they just cut to I Am Phenomenal real quick and AJ Styles. Like, you blew that shot to the point where they had to release an alternate angle of that camera shot. You know, it's like, dude, come on. Like, stuff like that is 101. You have one of the biggest wrestlers debuting. You know, like Edge is coming back after a 9-year absence. Are you kidding me? You're going to miss his spots? You know, like, it is. I think the camera worked. And listen, I don't know what it's like to direct TV, but Kevin Dunn does. He's been doing it for years. So why are we missing these shots? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just didn't – stuff like that boggles my mind in that case. Billy Kay, definitely the MVP. I thought Rhea Ripley, even though she lost – she had the most eliminations with 7. She definitely shined in this for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She's a future star, man. Bianca Belair, and I really love how they highlighted those particular ladies. I'll say it again. We talked about it. The fact that Alexa Bliss was eliminated so quickly, I wonder why they did that. And in the middle of like a transformation, and then she just gets thrown over the top, and there was no retaliation for Rhea Ripley whatsoever after the fact. You know what I mean? Like,
it was strange. It was definitely strange. A missed opportunity, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree with that. But overall, I was pleased with the Women's Rumble. Sky's the limit, man, for Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley in this case.
Absolutely.
But flipping over to our – I do got to say, before we hit this Men's Rumble, the Goldberg-Drew McIntyre match, I don't know how you felt, but there were several times where I got up out of my seat literally saying, please don't let Goldberg win. Please don't let Goldberg win. And there were several times where and you know what? Maybe that's a good thing on their part that they were able to tease that he might actually win a few times. But I really didn't want him walking away with the title, man.
I mean, they got to add in the drama. They got to keep you on the edge of your seat, or at least try to. I didn't think Goldberg would win. I saw a lot of stuff on social media saying that he might win. I didn't think he would. I'm glad he didn't. I mean, as I'm not a Goldberg hater. I've never really hated Goldberg, but I definitely felt like it would have been the wrong thing to have him go over on Drew, because it doesn't do anything for anybody.
All right.
So I'm glad that Drew McIntyre won. The only thing with Goldberg, you know, I don't mind guys coming back for one-off matches. You know, they make sense, and if it's good. But it's the same match over and over again, and I'm getting a little tired of people being speared through the barricades because it just doesn't do anything anymore.
It's a spot that's getting worn out.
Yeah, and it's not just Goldberg that does it. Everybody does it. You know,
Everyone who has a spear gets speared through the barricade at some point. Yeah. You know, or Braun Strowman shoulder tackles you through the barricade.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just old.
And I think we may have touched on this on the last episode, but and you're absolutely right, dude. I agree with you 100%. A Goldberg match consists of spear on the outside, possibly through the barricade, spear, jackhammer, kick out. I'm going to go for the spear. I leapfrog or go out the way. He shoulders the post. Person hits their finish. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar happened with Drew McIntyre again. Only this time Drew McIntyre knocked his fucking tooth out, which is kind of crazy. And knocked him silly, it looks like. It was a really stiff Claymore kick. But it's the same match. Yeah. And listen, I get it. Goldberg looks in incredible shape for his age. Goldberg still put asses in the seats. Mm-hmm. This match was 2 minutes and 32 seconds long. What purpose did it serve?
Yeah, it was just a way to make Drew look a little stronger going forward. You know, it was just a match to give him. And Goldberg's on the contract, and he's probably got dates that he, you know, has to perform. And this, you know, we need a match for Goldberg. Let's put him in this spot. And that's what it was. I don't mind it, but it's I think maybe going forward, if they're going to continue to have guys like Goldberg come back, they need to figure out how to make it a little more different.
I think I'm it for me, I'm done with the whole Goldberg thing. And it's I'm not knocking him. Dude was a huge star, made his money, good for you. You know what I'm saying? But again, a 2.5 minute match of the same thing that we see constantly. Right? And to me, it's like, okay, Goldberg gets up to Drew and goes, okay, you passed the test. Congratulations. Okay. Like, what test? You cut no promo about him testing him out or doing it. You know what I mean? Like, he came in for a few weeks. I mean, unfortunately, Drew got COVID, but he was able still able to cut, from a distance. He still cut some promos. And to me, it's the same thing. Let's like we said with the Rumble, let's bring along some new stars. I would have loved to see, and obviously titles very rarely change hands at the Rumble. But to see somebody else come along here and we'll touch on this with the men's Rumble, who was a viable contender for McIntyre in the event that Edge doesn't choose him?
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't think Edge is going to choose him. But yeah, who does he defend it to? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. I mean, we could move on from this match. I'm over it. But I will say this, on the flip side to the McIntyre Goldberg, I thought Sasha Banks and Carmella was very well done.
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. Carmella, I think, has gotten better over time.
She's definitely improved. I was impressed. And
Yeah.
also, she's across from Sasha Banks, one of the best, and even Sasha would be able to carry her to a good match, but it's still give or take. It takes two to tango here, and I thought Carmella's doing really well. It
Yeah.
was a solid match.
Yeah, it was a solid match. Sasha, controversial opinion. I know I've said it before. I'm not the biggest Sasha Banks fan. I just find her boring. But I think, she does put on good matches. I'll give her that. But she doesn't really do anything for me. But the match was fine.
So speaking of controversial, you are totally wrong. I hate you. But anyway, speaking of controversial, I want to, and again, before we get into this Rumble, this last man standing match for Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens, that was seen as a great match throughout, and then I saw most critics on Twitter saying how the ending of the match ruined the entire thing, and I gotta call people out here. First of all, to me, I don't know how you feel. That was a 5-star match in my opinion.
No, it was a great match.
With the exception of the ending. Does the ending put a damper on it? Yes, but it doesn't ruin the whole goddamn match.
No, I mean,
One
I would.
spot shouldn't ruin a great match to me. I'm sorry.
No, I would say, and of course, we're talking about the spot at the end where Roman was handcuffed, and apparently Paul Heyman couldn't unlock them, so that's why the referee stopped mid count during the 10-second count. Shit happens. It just happens, and they're professionals. They got to work through it, and they got to try to make it make sense when things like that happens. But it was very visible what happened, and sometimes, speaking to the fans, sometimes you just got to let things go. The
No,
match,
book, let it go. Let
yeah,
it go.
let it go. I mean, the match was great. I love that it was all over the place. I love the golf cart angle, which I know as soon as I mentioned it to a person at work, I was like, it actually made me laugh. And he was like, well, AEW did it. It's like, okay.
Oh,
I was like, okay,
okay.
fine.
Yeah.
Listen, I watch AEW. I'm an AEW fan. But that moment, it was funny, like, because I didn't expect it to happen.
It was
And
great.
Roman just driving that golf cart out of nowhere, like off camera, and then hitting him. Oh, it was just too funny. But the match was great. The botch spot, it happens. But I wanted to ask you, I haven't seen anything written about it on any wrestling news sites or anything at all, but I was told by a coworker that allegedly Vince McMahon was so angry at the botched spot that he screamed at both Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman in the backstage area, and that there are rumors of Reigns being stripped of the title because of it.
I have not heard that anywhere,
Yeah.
and whoever said that, where are they getting that from?
Yeah, well, I couldn't find it. I'm not confirming it. I'm just saying that somebody had told me this, and when I tried to research it, I couldn't find anything about it.
Right. First of all, you can't be that angry at your top star that you're gonna strip your top star of the title because you got angry of one spot. Can you be angry at the spot and rip them a new ass? Absolutely. Are you gonna change your whole thing for WrestleMania because of one fucking spot in a Rumble? Like, dude, are you serious? Who's this guy? Call him up right now. give me a break, bro. Like, give me a break. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Where'd he get the information from? Where? Because I'm looking it up right now, can't find it anywhere.
Yeah,
like,
it's not. Like, it's
seriously,
not there.
Stop being a fucking mark. All right, all right. And I hate using that term. I really do. But stop. Where'd you get it from? You're just pulling shit out of your ass. Okay. What was the botch very visible? I agree 100%. Like, to me, like I just said, to me, I thought that was a 5-star match. But because of that botch spot, that's the difference between a 4.5-star match and a 5-star match. Okay. Yeah. 5-star match nearly flawless or flawless. 4.5 spot was like, you were just there. And the problem was, but you know what though? It's not a Roman Reigns problem, Kevin Owens, Paul Heyman. It's everybody. It's Reigns, Owens, Heyman. It was the ref's problem. It was the production's problem. It was the commentary's problem because you need to be able to think on the fly and say, what's going on? And you have to call audibles. Clearly, Heyman is having trouble because, first of all, his arm is tied up in a goddamn steel beam. And he couldn't get his hands, not, you know, Paul Heyman, a little pudgy too. But, you know, on top of that, probably can't fit his hand in. You know, when they handcuffed Roman initially, it looked like the other side of the handcuff where the key would go in was on the opposite side. So yeah. Heyman was better suited standing on the opposite side of Roman Reigns than trying to go on from underneath. Okay? That's problem number one. Two, they should have never brought the referee out until Roman was free.
Right.
Okay? The other referee. Because first of all, when Roman was about to get counted out and he knocked the ref out, I was like, that's an awesome spot.
Yeah, that was
a great heel spot. Yep. Right? They should have never brought the other ref out until Heyman freed Reigns. Okay? The referee comes out and gets to 6 and stops counting at 6. That's the referee. The referee should have got ripped a new asshole. You know, you count to 10. If you're going to keep counting, then count to 10. Okay? At that point, if he's still counting, Reigns needs to realize, okay, I need to get the fuck up on my feet. And at that point, he did. He tried to. He stood in a crouching stance, but he's still on his feet.
Right.
Owens, who handcuffed Reigns and was waiting for the count out and saw the ref get knocked out, nothing happened to Reigns. Nobody hit him, right? He's still selling his injuries, I guess, from early in the match, but he's still on his feet, leaning against the beam while Paul Heyman is trying to unlock Roman Reigns. And Kevin Owens is pretty much watching him do it. So it's a number of things that happened. It wasn't one person's fault in particular. It was a number of people's fault. And in commentary at that point, too, should be like, why did the ref stop counting? What's going on? Why did the ref stop counting? The champions, they should point it out.
Yeah.
So then you could spin it into a storyline later to say, well, he was afraid what Roman was going to do to him on Friday had he counted him out or some bullshit like that. You got to be able to call it on the fly. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't Roman. Or Heyman, I mean, it was their fault, but it wasn't just their fault. It was a number of people's fault at the end of that match.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's like I said before, and just shit happens. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And, you know, they are professionals, and they got to work through these things, but it doesn't ruin the quality of the match overall. It's, you know, if you want to look at it and say, oh, that was unfortunate, that's fine, but it doesn't ruin the quality of the match. It doesn't ruin the storytelling.
The biggest thing I had a problem with, because, you know, like, we're trying to tweet out, you know, live tweet as we're going on with the matches. I've seen a bunch of people like, it was a great match until the end and ruined the entire thing. I'm like, dude, if the fact that that spot at the end ruined an entirely great match for you, then that's the problem with wrestling fans today. Mm. You know, because I hate to tell you that problems like this, not the same exact problem, but botches like this are going to happen in AEW and an ROH and an Impact and New Japan, all your beloved companies that you use to shit on WWE. It happens in every company. Stop acting like WWE is the antichrist of wrestling because it's the popular thing to do. Was it a bad spot? Absolutely. Agree with you 100%. Did it ruin the whole fucking match? Absolutely not. And if it ruined the whole match for you, watch something else, man, because that's terrible.
So, yeah, Roman did win, and he's still the Universal Champion. You know, I would ask, where does he go? But for me, without really trying to skip ahead, I know we want to dive into the Men's Royal Rumble, but
I don't mean to cut you off, but this is another report that I actually read. I'm sorry, the whole Vince ripped him a new asshole backstage really bothers me, because Vince McMahon wasn't even at the Royal Rumble on Sunday.
Oh, well, there you go.
So he missed it. But was in touch with officials who he left in charge of the show, and Triple H was tasked with running the show. So go tell your friend, shut the fuck up.
I didn't say friend. I said coworker.
No, he's your friend now. No, he's your friend.
There's two pay-per-views. There's Elimination Chamber, there's Fastlane, and then there's WrestleMania. But I think Edge challenging Roman Reigns is probably the way to go for Mania. I know that, you know, they're trying to make SmackDown the flagship show ever since SmackDown moved to USA. The hopeful dream match that seemed like it was going to happen, but now it's not, Rock and Roman. That was the match that I think really needed to happen for Roman. It could, just story purposes, I think it would have been great, but it's not going to happen. So I think Edge challenging him is the one that makes sense. But should Edge win that match?
I see what you're saying there. That was a good question. First of all, I think Rock and Roman, if it doesn't happen now, saving it for SoFi Stadium in 2 years at LA. I mean, we'll see where we are at that point. LA, Rock going Hollywood, story there, cousins, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you might have something there. And that's me fantasy booking 2 years from now. Doubt that's going to happen. I could be wrong there for sure. Probably am wrong. I mean, for me, the immediate thing that I thought when Edge won was, okay, Edge will challenge McIntyre because McIntyre has no viable contenders right now on Raw. And Roman could go against Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan seemed like he had a lot of momentum going in. This could be one of his final runs. He goes and challenges Roman. Roman goes over, this, that, the third. But then coming out of it, you're seeing a lot of stuff, and you're right, too. So SmackDown's the flagship show, right? It's on a major network, right? You bring your winner of your Royal Rumble match to challenge your current champion, you know, head of the table, stuff like that. He never lost it. He wants it back, which is great. I think the storyline is a great touch. I also, what I love, what he's doing now is the tease. He was on Raw. I may challenge you. I may pick you. You know, you're over here congratulating me. You shouldn't be doing that. Then he went to NXT this past Wednesday, which was awesome. Talking to both Pete Dunne and Finn Balor, saying, you know, depending on the outcome of this match, I may just pick one of you because this is one I've never had, which was great. And him and Karrion Kross had a great little thing. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be on SmackDown on Friday. Yeah. Right. So for me, I agree with you. I think he is going to end up challenging Roman. Giving the state 9 years later, blah, blah, blah. I mean, will it be nice and fitting to give Edge the title win? I think so. But I'm not sure. I think Edge, you know, him coming back, he's not a full-timer. Like, not that that's mattered in the past. I think he has a good story, and it'd be wrapped up to, it's almost like the boyhood dream, right? Shawn Michaels wins the Rumble. They build up this nice story, wins the title at Mania. For me, logically, it makes sense. You come back after 9 years. You have great matches. You're out with a triceps injury. You come back as number one, win the Rumble again. You never lost the world title. You have the world title at Mania. You go against your top star. You win the belt. Spear versus spear. I mean, I would like to see that happen. Roman's been on a tear, though.
Yes, yeah, and listen, I mean, I get it. Roman can't be champ forever, even though, you know, we've seen guys have longer title runs now. And I'm not going to say that Roman, if he were to lose to Edge, that would be them. Oh, they're killing Roman. Like, I'm not going to go down that route because that wouldn't happen.
He's burying him.
I think I have always liked Roman Reigns, and I was always kind of against the idea when the fans boot him, say that he sucks, say that he can't wrestle. I'm against that because I think he proves it every time that he can put on a very good show, a very good match. And I think his character now as a heel has, I wish there were fans there because I'm pretty sure they'd be cheering him right now. That's how good he's been. So I think as a fan watching him, it would be just like, oh man, he lost. Edge winning. I'm not against him either winning or losing. I guess what would make more sense. And I think it does make more sense to have Edge win because it is the big return again. You know, you can give him a universal title run. You know, he's never had that title, so give him a little run with that. I mean, he seems to be a little bit more active than, like, you know, Brock Lesnar was. You know, he wrestled on Raw against Randy Orton, didn't he? So,
in a good match.
Yeah, in a good match. So maybe he'll be a little bit more active than just a part-timer. I do get concerned with him physically, and anybody who suffered injuries like he has, on how long he can actually go. But yeah, give him a title run, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with him from there. What I do want to circle back to, like I said before, is, and you mentioned it, is his appearance on NXT. As I was watching NXT and Finn Balor and Pete Dunne was squaring off, and that's going to be an awesome match at TakeOver. I can't wait to watch it. But when Edge came out and he was talking about how, you know, there's too much emphasis on the E, which in WWE, which we know entertainment, and that NXT represents the W, wrestling.
I thought that was great, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a nice touch.
It was. And as I'm watching him talk to him, and he's like, you know, I could challenge you.
Mm.
And I thought, there was a lot of things that I was thinking. I was like, Finn Balor on the main roster versus Edge would be great. But Finn Balor as the NXT champion versus Edge is another level. And I really liked that they would do that. I liked last year when Charlotte won and, you know, she challenged Rhea Ripley for the NXT women's title because it was fresh, it was different. And how many times are you going to see Charlotte with the Raw, the SmackDown women's title? I thought, you know, how cool would it be if Edge actually did challenge for the NXT title? And maybe now they're at a point with NXT where they stop treating it as a breeding ground for people to go to the main roster. Because I think too many times now we've seen too many good people go to the main roster and just not get used. So maybe we stop treating it as kind of the, you know, you go to NXT, you work on yourself, and then you move up. Treat it as an actual third brand. Have guys go back and women go back and forth, you know, rotate everything. Have Edge compete against Finn Balor. Have Dolph Ziggler go down to NXT and try to challenge for the NXT title. Have Pete Dunne go up to SmackDown, fight someone, and then go back down. You know, put a guy like Aleister Black, make him rotate all over the place. It's not like they're traveling. You know, they're all in the same place. So I just think that would be a cool thing if they did that.
So you're talking about like maybe just instead of doing like brand splits, kind of maybe rotating several, kind of like what they did with the wild card rule, more or less. Like,
yeah, I mean, I know people shit on the wild card rule, but I don't think that's a bad idea. It's especially if you have everyone in the same place, then what do you have to lose? You can create fresher storylines. You can even create stars in the process of doing that. Yeah, and you just make things, we get different things with it.
Right. I mean, I do like the fact that NXT, I mean, now it's on USA. I mean, for all intents and purposes, right, they are the third brand. But I do like the fact that you still get to see these up-and-coming guys like, you know, like a Leon Ruff that probably would never get any play on Raw or SmackDown. Right. You know, getting some shine, or, you know, guys like Legado del Fantasma and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I love Santos Escobar, what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, those guys, maybe, you know, they're not going to get promo time on a Raw or SmackDown.
No, I agree with you, which is why there are some guys that are suited for NXT. There are some guys that are suited for Raw or SmackDown, but there are also ways that you can interchange them. And you know, some guys should be going back and forth. You know, like I've maintained Apollo Crews should go back to NXT.
He should have never left.
Yeah, he should have never left.
I'm one of the few that, you know, when they did those initial call-ups and he was one of them, I'm like, the first thing I said, instead of being like, oh, great, he's on Raw, I was like, why?
Yeah, it's too soon.
It was way too soon. I agree, you know, guys like him, even, you know, I was never the biggest EC3 fan, but he was not that he wasn't ready for Raw, but man, he had no time at NXT to develop, to come back up to Raw. They were just banking on his name from Impact.
Right.
You know, and granted, injuries got in the way with that stuff too, but like, you know, and you see a number of people. Tyler Breeze, who I loved in NXT, came up and just floundered. And then he had some good, great stuff going on with Fandango on SmackDown with the Fashion Files. Then he just dropped them out of nowhere. But now they have a resurgence on NXT. Had an NXT tag title run. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think guys like that, guys who on the main roster are essentially not doing anything. Creative has nothing for you. Why not just be like, put me on. You know, when Finn Balor went to NXT, I was like, oh, that's cool, man. You know, you're establishing a guy. He's on USA. You want to have a big name there, a former champion, you know. But they're also establishing guys. Karrion Kross, Adam Cole. Like, a guy like Adam Cole, bringing the Undisputed Era up to SmackDown, but still saying, screw you, we're NXT. But still having that element of maybe we could pop in whenever we want. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I thought that'd be great. I thought Charlotte challenging Rhea Ripley last year was great because what else has Charlotte done? Right. Well, you know what? Instead of going for those titles, which I've held a million times, I'm gonna go back to NXT and show you, you know,
right,
what it used to be here. Like, I you know, and her and Rhea Ripley had a hell of a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and it was fresh, and it was intriguing. And that's the point that WWE, if I have any complaints against them, they need to get back to must see things in the best way that they can. They should never, I know fans are like, oh, go back to Attitude. You can't go back to the Attitude Era. You can't go backwards. You have to go forward. How do you go forward from here? I think that would be my proposal to them, is start moving these guys around a little bit more. I know they've done that before too. I just think that with the situation now, they can't really travel that much. There's not a lot of fans that are there. Start interchanging them more. You know, have Karrion Kross come out on NXT and, you know, cut his promos, talk about himself the way he does. And you see a guy like, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler come out on NXT and he's like, you know, let me show you how it's done. Like, just things like that, I think would be really cool to see.
I would love to see something along the lines of, you know, even Ricochet go back down, because it seems like he had all the momentum behind him, and then all of a sudden they literally, you know, figuratively also clipped his wings.
Aleister Black.
You know, another guy, he's been off TV for a while and stuff. You know, I do agree with you. Like, if Edge would have challenged Finn Balor and you had that going on at WrestleMania, that'd be awesome. I would love to see that, right? But then there's also that element too, right? Edge is a Hall of Famer, superstar. Do we want to see him challenge for our third brand's title? Do we want to see that? And not necessarily. That's the mentality. I'm not saying that's not something I don't want to see, but if you're thinking about that mentality from their perspective, maybe, you know, after 9 years, he was one of your biggest stars. He left as the world champion, but you want to go for his third brand's title. But, you know, but that's where you're, as a superstar, Hall of Famer, carry it. And the fact that Edge's promos have been second to none since he's come back, when he said, depending on this match, I may just come here because I've never had that. And I thought that was great, because he treated NXT, the NXT title, as equal to the world title and the universal title. I've never had that. Maybe I want that. You think I'm going to come to NXT and want to take that shit? You know what I mean? Like, he made that title in like that 3-4 minute promo that he cut. Right. And, you know, so like you said, if he challenged Finn Balor, dude, I'm all in.
I just want to see the Demon King.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he's past the demon for a little bit with this heel run. I mean, I've seen it a few times in person. It's fantastic. I always wanted to see. I always thought him versus Bray could have did something, but then, you know, they all got the mumps that one time. But him and Karrion Kross is something I'm looking forward to as well. If that happens, you know, Pete Dunne doesn't go over. Maybe, you know, because Karrion Kross seems to have a little bit of this like supernatural element to him now, along with his, you know, him versus the demon. There's a lot of things you can go. And another thing that what he said, you know, on Raw and SmackDown, we focus more on the E and not about the second W. I thought that was fantastic. It was calling out WWE without calling them out directly.
Right. And it was also acknowledging, too, that NXT may not just be the third brand anymore.
I mean, you know, you see how many people who shit all over WWE but love NXT, you know, because it's more wrestling, you know, because, you know, we love AEW, whatever the hell they feel like. Yeah, man. I mean, listen, in terms of the actual men's Rumble itself, so Edge is he the third number one or fourth number one? Am I? So it's Benoit, Michaels. Did Vince McMahon come out as number one that year, or was it Austin?
Vince McMahon was number two.
All right, so then he'd be the third number one to win.
Yeah.
I mean,
so he's the third number one. There's a lot to that you can unravel there with that. I think that regardless of everything that we just said too about Edge's big return, you know, he's back in wrestling. That's why they wanted to give him the win. But I also feel like making him number one so he can win is so they can finally have someone else that they can talk about that came in at number one and won the Rumble.
Oh, you're talking about without. Okay, I see what you're saying here.
Yeah. They don't talk about Benoit, and in my opinion, they shouldn't.
No, not at all.
They don't. You know, for a long time, I'm sure that was like something that they were like, damn, you know, I wish we could mention someone else that came in at number one and won. And so they're like, all right, let's just do it with Edge.
And you have two Hall of Famers,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're never gonna reference him. They may, you know, drop his name in there here and there just because, you know, he's in the record books. But I think, okay, I didn't even think about that element. Mine was, you know, just the whole coming at number one, here's something else to overcome, right?
Right. Yeah.
Neck injury after 9 years, triceps injury, I'm in at number one, and now I'm going to come and win this whole damn thing. You know what I mean? And then him versus Orton, 1 and 2, you know, and yeah. him beating the shit out of Orton for the most of the, like, the first couple minutes, and then, you know, he got taken off.
Fast start to the Rumble, which I don't think has ever happened before.
I liked it. I liked how he attacked him in the ramp because of that history. You know, given the fact that he beat you and you tore your triceps, you're not going to stand there and wait for him. Like, no, screw you. This is the first time I've seen you in months. I'm going to come and whoop your ass. Right. Like, that was great. I love the way they put it together in that beginning sequence. I do got to say, nothing really stood out in terms of elimination. There was no real diesel spot except I think Big E and Damian Priest tied for 4 eliminations apiece. And we had called Damian Priest making an appearance here.
Yeah, and I loved his appearance. I think he even appeared on Raw. I didn't watch all of Raw. I think he did appear on it.
He did. Damian Priest, in my opinion, shined in this Rumble greatly.
Absolutely.
And it seems like he's part of the Raw roster going forward. I think they're going in on Damian Priest. I think he's going to get a significant push. He had a spot with Bad Bunny, who was the performer for the Rumble. He dove off on Miz and Morrison. He had a nice spot with him where he came out during Miz TV. And he ended up beating Miz in a match. And then at the end of the night, Edge is walking out for his match with Orton. And he sees Damian Priest standing there, shakes his hand, and says, I like what you do. Keep it up. We need good guys like you. Giving him almost like the seal of approval there, a la Undertaker for John Cena's debut. So that was something I was like, wow, they may be strapping the rocket to Damian Priest sooner rather than later.
And I hope so. I've been a fan of his since he was Punishment Martinez in Ring of Honor. And I remember I was watching a New Japan show. I don't remember exactly which one, but Damian Priest fought Hirooki Goto. And it was an awesome match. And I was just like, wow. I was like, this guy can be a big star. And, you know, when he debuted, when he debuted in NXT, I wasn't exactly sure what his gimmick was, but he has gotten better. I think that gimmick has gotten better over time since he's been there. And he oozes charisma. I think he's got the whole package. And I just hope that his push comes sooner rather than later, because he's not old. He's what, 38, 39, but that's also not young considering, you know, the athletic world.
Yeah, man. AJ Styles is over 40 and still killing it.
That's true. But those guys, I think, are few and far between, too. I want to see his push come sooner. I don't want to wait 2 years for him to get his spot, is what I'm trying to say.
I'll tell you this. I'm going to make a prediction now. He is going to have a significant match at WrestleMania. I honestly think it's going to be him and Bad Bunny against Miz and Morrison. I'm throwing that out there right now. I just feel it. I feel it happening. But, you know, it was good on him. Side note real quick. Do you not see Damian Priest and not immediately in your head see the villain from the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie Cyborg?
I do now.
I mean, guys, at Wrestling Guys PC, Google Damian Priest and the villain from Cyborg, the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It's the same guy. Damian Priest, he literally does live forever. It's him. Hands down. Every time I see him, all I ever think is the movie Cyborg. Underrated sci-fi flick, by the way. Every time.
The Miz. When is he cashing that briefcase in?
Here's the thing, though. If you don't have a viable contender for McIntyre and he doesn't match on Mania, I mean, what are the chances he cashes in at Mania and wins the belt? To be honest with you, I think whenever he cashes in, he's going to lose. I don't think they're going to give him a world title run.
I think that he might actually win because I'm looking at it more statistically, I guess, playing the odds. How many times now has the Money in the Bank winner in recent years lost? You know, I feel like they've lost more than they've actually cashed in and won. So I think maybe it's just due that the Money in the Bank winner cashes in and actually wins, and I think he will.
I mean, you know, he has no momentum, though. That's the problem. And I think that's the problem that I have with these Money in the Bank matches. You know, you want to elevate a new star with this Money in the Bank. He can cash any time. That's great. But, you know, you can't be constantly jobbing out to people.
Right.
When you have this case. So then when he finally cashes in, it's like, dude, he's losing all the time. But you just gave him the world title. And that's the thing, too. You know, and you hear people like Jericho say, like, you know, they'll do things where they're like, oh, we're going to give Dolph Ziggler the world title. He's going to cash in. But we're not pushing Dolph Ziggler. So he'll win the title. He has this huge pop in Mania, but he loses it the next month.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see that too. If he wins successfully and then McIntyre picks it back up at Backlash, whatever the pay-per-view is. And I say Backlash because I used to be the one. You know, I don't know. Here's the thing. I mean, since we're on this and we'll shift gears real quick and we'll fantasy book from our couches here. In terms of Mania matches, so we already said I think Bianca Belair is probably going to challenge Sasha Banks. You know, you have Edge against Roman Reigns, which I think is going to be the match, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But who faces Drew McIntyre? Do we have a returning legend? Do we try to make a new star in the next few weeks? Because, I mean, listen, you have Elimination Chamber. You have some viable competitors that could win a chamber match to be the number one contender for Drew McIntyre, right? Or do you have like a high profile a la McIntyre, Goldberg, at Royal Rumble? That's the question there. Because if I see it now, there may be a few, you know, you have your Ortons, you know, and that could be the next match possibly, you know, maybe a returning Fiend. Bobby Lashley has been on a fucking tear lately.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the U.S. champion right now. I mean, I don't know. Where do you think, where do you see this going?
I don't know. You know, I think I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Bobby Lashley in a top match at WrestleMania challenging for the belt. Whether he wins or not, I don't know. I think if you're going to use a guy that they have consistently, Bobby Lashley could be a good choice. But I would say if you're going to have another kind of Goldberg Drew match, like, you know, a returning legend or somebody popping in for a one night thing, maybe John Cena comes back and challenges Drew. And because I think he's locked for Mania, isn't he? So
John Cena came out this week and said, mathematically, there's no way he could come to WrestleMania. That's what he said. But you never know. That could be a misdirection, you know, or maybe he is just unavailable. You know, maybe he's just throwing the wool over the eyes for now. You know, like a returning, you know, I'm thinking, you know, if Lesnar's back, you have a rematch from last year, right? He took his belt. Now Lesnar wants the rematch, you know, if that's going to happen. I don't know what contract negotiations or whatever his contract looks like. A guy like Lashley is a viable competitor. My safety pick, and I say safety as in like, listen, we have nobody else, but let's go with it, is going to be Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Right? And you have Randy versus Drew again, but they just finished a long feud again, right? So why would they retread those waters that they just left? You know,
plus Randy needs that payoff with The Fiend, I think.
Right, exactly. So I think The Fiend, I think, yes, for all intents and purposes, The Fiend and Orton are probably locked into something.
Right.
Right. We don't know what that is yet, but Bliss is still messing with Orton all week. She messed with him this past week on Monday. You know, so I don't know. In terms of that, I mean, there's a number of ways that they could go. Lashley does seem like a viable pick just because he seems like he's on fire. But like, you know, again, where are your top tier stars that you could be like, all right, who's the next person to step up? You know, maybe we'll find that out during the Elimination Chamber. You know, maybe we won't, you know, but that's the problem of like, you know, where are mid-card to upper tier guys? You know, I thought of one, all right, Lashley, but not even Lashley has viable U.S. title contenders, right? He has Riddle. You know, and where else? You know, you have an Ali who, if they actually, you know, put some significant push behind Retribution instead of shitting all over them, he could actually come up and be a viable U.S. title contender,
mm-hmm.
maybe a world title contender if they wanted to try that out. You know, there are ways they can go, but they don't. This 50-50 booking of I get a win, you get a win, I get a win, you get a win doesn't help nobody.
No.
If you want to push somebody, push them the right way. Get them some damn wins and make them look good. Even if he doesn't win, make them look good. You know, McIntyre, I think for me right now, it's a question mark.
Here's what if I was fantasy booking, you know, I mentioned Cena, but if I was fantasy, and I just thought of this, here's what maybe I would do. If for those who watched NXT, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong lost in the Dusty Rhodes tag team tournament match. they lost to Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa. If we all remember Adam Cole's debut in NXT, who did he attack? He attacked Drew McIntyre.
All right.
And then Drew McIntyre, he had that injury that same night when he dropped the belt to Andrade. Adam Cole comes out and attacks him. McIntyre's gone because of the injury. Next time we see him, he's on Raw. Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era, they're not floundering on NXT, but you can tell that they're in that kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? They're just kind of floating right now. They're not on the top. They're not on the bottom. They're just like, you know, where can we put them this week? Kyle O'Reilly was doing great things with Finn Balor. But with their recent loss in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Tournament, I would take Adam Cole. And I know they're not playing the heels on NXT right now, but I would take him. And he starts being like, you know, what's next for the Undisputed Era? We're not finding our groove. We're not doing our thing anymore. What am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and finish what I started with Drew McIntyre and challenge him for the title.
Not a bad idea. I mean, in NXT call-up, he's the most logical.
Yeah.
For that reason. That would be great. I mean, but you know, here's the problem with that, right? Is anybody really thinking that far ahead? Or is anybody really thinking outside the box like that? I mean, you thought it was on the fly just now, but I just feel like, you know, what's the go-to? It's WrestleMania. We need, you know, like for me, that's why I say it's a question mark. Because as much as I would love for that to happen, probably won't, right? I mean, yeah. You know, there's going to be somebody else. But, like, you know, we need to build new contenders. Raw for me, it's like, where are the contenders, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue there, you know, like, because now it's like, you know, I kept going back to Daniel Bryan on SmackDown because if Edge did challenge McIntyre, Daniel Bryan could slide right in. AJ Styles could slide right in.
Right.
Right. You know, Kevin Owens could go right back into that mix again, too. You have 3-4 viable guys there. Raw, and this is not knocking anybody. I love WWE, but who's the next pro title contender for Drew McIntyre that's not Randy Orton?
Right.
Or The Fiend. You know what I mean?
So maybe that's why maybe they have to go the other way and have Edge challenge him at Mania, because there's as of right now, there's really no other match to have.
Right. And I want to say Edge and Reigns does make sense. But for me, I think the money match would be with McIntyre. And then you have, you know, because you have a number of viable contenders with Reigns. If in the event that Bianca Belair does the Sasha Banks thing, where does that leave Asuka? Right.
Again, and this is another Raw champion, right? Like, who does she have?
You know? I mean, you could have the nice match of maybe like a returning Naomi because she came back at the Rumble.
Right.
You know, maybe having a match together, something different, switch it up a little bit. You know, athletic Naomi, the ass kicker, and Asuka. You know, it would have been great to see maybe Asuka and Shayna Baszler if Shayna Baszler wasn't locked up in the tag team thing with Nia, just because. Me and my son were actually, just before we started to record, we're watching 2019's Elimination Chamber when Shayna Baszler choked out everybody.
Yeah.
Was it 2019? I'm sorry, 2020, right?
2019, right?
Was that correct?
No, 2020.
2020, right? Yeah. So, and she chokes out Asuka at the end. You know, a build to that match would be, you know, pretty nice. You know, or you know, they seem like they're strapping the rocket to Lacey Evans. So maybe they go that route with her and Flair together. And, you know, Flair's shenanigans has Lacey get a title run off of that, you know. But that's another one, you know, question mark. You know, where do we go from here? You know, maybe a Rhea Ripley, you know, another young up-and-comer debuts for the Raw roster and you have something there.
I was just thinking that, you know, Elimination Chamber. You have a Raw Women's Elimination Chamber match. Winner gets title shot against Asuka.
Yeah.
You have a mystery spot. You know, who can fill that spot? And bring Rhea Ripley up, turn her heel, and have her win that match and go after Asuka. It's a fresh face for somebody who has no one to face right now.
Right, that's crazy. And then she was like, you know, it, for me too. I mean, and I'm gonna keep going back to it. I'm a hammer at home, but Alexa Bliss, Royal Rumble showing aside. Dude, she's doing fantastic work on Raw.
Yeah.
I would love Asuka, Alexa Bliss at Mania.
Yeah,
I'll take it. You know, because I think, man, she's doing some of the best work. Her facials, the transformations mid match, where you know, I mean, obviously it's probably you know definitely pre recorded, but like you know the things that she's doing, the match with Nikki Cross was like, you know, Nikki, it's me, you know, like, and it's like almost like horror movie esque, you know, the transformations, and but she's doing a great job. I would love to see. I mean, fan wise, I want to see Alexa Asuka, man. You know.
Yeah, I'll take
but,
it.
Will they do it? Again, that remains to be seen. I mean, and then you know you have your mid card titles, Bobby Lashley. I don't know, Big E. He could pick, you know, could pretty much cherry pick who he wants at this point. They got some, you know, again, like viable U.S. title contenders. You know, Sami Zayn. It looks like him and Sami Zayn are probably locked in to probably dance with each other at that point. In terms of, I am gonna say though, I'm gonna lock in this choice right now. Damian Priest and Bad Bunny versus Miz and Morrison. It's definitely happening. I'm telling you, put a note on it. You heard it here first.
Does it go all the way to WrestleMania though, or do they do it at the next pay per view?
No, you got to pay it. Bad Bunny's a huge star. You have to pay it off at WrestleMania.
I didn't know who he was, to be honest with you. When he was performing with Booker T, I was like, "Who is this guy?"
Well, I mean, I think his album was like one of the most streamed albums last year.
Okay.
He's a huge, huge star. So having a guy like that, you want to bring some eyes back to the brand. Boom! You have an up and coming star with him. Bam! It's there. I don't know. I feel it. Money right there. Put a note on it. You heard it here first. At Wrestling Guys PC, when you see it happen. I mean, listen, we could sit here in fantasy book all day, right? But I mean, listen, anything could change. I literally change every week on who I thought was going to win the Royal Rumble. And I also will say this. It looks like Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan are heading towards a possible Mania match as well, given the way the Rumble ended for D-Bry with Rollins. First of all, welcome back, Rollins. But hiding on the outside of the ring and then running in to eliminate him, you know, because Daniel was having a good show. So, I mean, you know what? You heard it here first. Rollins versus Bryan, WrestleMania. I'm calling that, too.
I'll take it.
I'll tell you this. It'll kick off at Elimination Chamber. Rollins will eliminate Daniel Bryan, Elimination Chamber, or cause him to get eliminated. Into the Rumble, I said. Into Mania. Happening. Put a stamp on it. Have a Wrestling Guys PC. You heard it here first. Yeah, I mean, it's good. And also, did you see Becky Lynch trolling the fans, showing a picture of the curtain? And people assumed that she was going to enter the Rumble. And she was like, no, I'm just showing you a picture of a nice curtain, which is great. But it was the curtain backstage at the Rumble. But, you know, Becky Lynch being Becky Lynch, you know, maybe she returns sooner rather than later and challenges Asuka for the title she never lost. So, you know, all possibilities here. And that's what's great about Mania season and Royal Rumble season, which I think is also good about, you know, the predictability this year is kind of low. Sometimes you're able to see like where they're going with certain things. And this year, maybe it's because maybe they don't have it planned out, or maybe because plans changed. There is a lot of things that are up in the air. Maybe, you know, it'll start to take shape, I think, as we get closer to Elimination Chamber and then eventually closer to WrestleMania itself. I think there's a lot of things in the works, but, you know, I love it, man. We got to just sit back and enjoy the ride. Stop shitting on everything. That's the problem with these fans, huh? Let's let it play out before we criticize, guys. We saw what happened with the Rumble, right? We didn't know who's going to win. You got a nice returning winner. Enjoy the ride, man.
All right, so I wanted to switch gears again here and just talk a little bit about the bracket that the WWE did, the greatest Royal Rumble performer bracket, which I think fans voted on, and Stone Cold Steve Austin won. So according to fans, Stone Cold Steve Austin is the greatest Royal Rumble performer of all time.
They actually called it the Mr. Royal Rumble tournament. So Steve Austin is Mr. Royal Rumble.
Mr. Royal Rumble. Yeah. Now, we actually talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago. And I had said that Steve Austin would be my choice because he's the only three-time winner. He's won it more than anybody.
Right.
Do you agree with Stone Cold being Mr. Royal Rumble?
See, I have the three wins puts him over the top, right? He is a three-time winner. Here's the thing, though, and I'm gonna play a little devil's advocate with you here, right? The first time he won, he didn't main event WrestleMania. In fact, it's almost like, not that they took the win away, they went and did the Final Four pay-per-view,
yeah,
right? Which is initially supposed to be the Final Four in the Rumble that got eliminated because Austin was technically eliminated when he won.
Right.
And that was going to be the number one contender. But then it ended up being for the world title because Shawn Michaels lost his smile. Right?
Yeah. Great match, by the way.
Yeah. This is awesome. Go back and check that out, by the way. It's awesome. Vader bleeding like crazy. Right? So he never went on to headline WrestleMania. Granted, he went on and had the best match of the night with Bret Hart, right? But could you rescind that initial win? I mean, technically on paper, he won that Rumble, but he was eliminated, and they did like a workaround where they put the Final Four back in a match. So I'm surprised they never took that win away, right? So that's a technicality, let's say, okay? All right, fine, he has the three wins. Shawn Michaels, on the other hand, was the first number one to win the Rumble, all right? Came back in 96 and won the Rumble. He has the second most eliminations ever.
Yeah.
Right? Arguably one of the greatest, two of the greatest finishes of all time in Rumble history with 95, the shitty 95 Rumble, and with Undertaker in 2007. Man, I don't know. And I know here, so there was two brackets side by side, right? One was greatest winners, right? And the second half of the bracket on the right side was called master eliminators. So people who maybe didn't win the Rumble, but had a significant amount of eliminations, even though guys like Rey Mysterio, Roman Reigns, Lesnar, Undertaker, and Edge all won. But guys like Kane, Big Show didn't win. Braun Strowman won the greatest Royal Rumble, but I'm not counting that shit. So there's a few, there's three on this list that did not win the Rumble directly, but had, like Kane has a number one, the most eliminations of all time.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, whereas, so they actually put them, you know, and seeded them. So Austin being the number one overall seed and on the greatest winning side, Drew McIntyre being number eight, Drew McIntyre who had just won. I don't think I would even stick Drew McIntyre on this bracket, to be honest with you. You know, Batista, John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton. And that's just to round out the greatest winning side, right? Right-hand side, Kane versus Rey Mysterio, Big Show, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker, and Edge. Shawn Michaels, to me, if I had to pick a Mr. Royal Rumble, and he didn't make it out of the bracket, it was him and Stone Cold at the end to get to the finals. I don't know, man. I think I might go Shawn Michaels. But then again, you know, Mr. Royal Rumble and Mr. WrestleMania, like, come on, dude.
Well, I mean, he is arguably the greatest of all time for a reason. But I guess it always comes down to that old sports debate on, you know, do you judge by championships or do you judge by statistics and career performances? You know, because Dan Marino, if you're a football fan, Dan Marino is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, never won a Super Bowl.
Right. Listen, but to me, I'm also a firm believer is that rings are not the only thing that should cement a legacy. Does it put you over the top? Absolutely. Right. So for instance, going on that debate, right? So on the master eliminator side, Kane is the number one seed and Rey Mysterio is number eight. And Kane moved on all the way to the semifinals on this bracket against The Undertaker. I would have had the upset of Rey Mysterio taking Kane out because Rey Mysterio won the Royal Rumble and Kane didn't. Right. Kane has the most eliminations ever, but Rey Mysterio at the time up until the greatest Royal Rumble lasted the longest time in the Rumble ever. And he actually won it from the number two spot. Kane has never won a Rumble. So Kane is the number one seed, obviously, because he has the most eliminations. But I would have taken Rey Mysterio in that case. I would have – Big Show came out as the four seed for – I don't know why – against Braun Strowman. Now, if you count the greatest Royal Rumble, I would have moved on Braun Strowman because he actually won. Where it gets tricky, which is where I agree, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, they both have won a Rumble, right? And so has Undertaker and Edge.
Yeah.
Right? So based on – well, now, Edge is a two-time winner, but at the time, he wasn't. Undertaker being the two seed here, Undertaker is the first number 30 to win, right? Arguably two of the greatest finishers. And that's where I think you go in terms of match quality and what they've done, right? So you have the win, they both won. Okay, fine. So there you have an even playing field. You know, match quality. How great were their Rumbles that they were in? 2007 was awesome and one of the greatest endings of all time. I think Undertaker moves on automatically. Roman Reigns, the year that he won, got booed out of the fucking building. It was one of the worst Rumbles we've probably seen just because the ending was kind of shit. I would have taken Brock Lesnar over Roman Reigns in this case and had Brock Lesnar Undertaker in the quarterfinals as opposed to Roman Reigns and the Undertaker. But this, again, this was a fan's vote, right? So, you know, you're probably not even voting on who they thought was the greatest, maybe just who they liked. You know, and you know, similarly on the other side, Shawn Michaels, two-time winner, Randy Orton, two-time winner. That's pretty cool, you know, on the first round.
Yeah.
You know, Shawn Michaels being the first number one to ever do it, I think that automatically puts him in the next round there, you know. Hogan and Triple H, Hogan a two-time winner, Triple H also a two-time winner. So, you know, Batista and John Cena, two-time winners. And then you have Austin, 3 to Drew McIntyre's 1. So, you know, do I agree with the win? Yeah, I'm gonna go Stone Cold. But to me, I might just give the edge to Shawn Michaels just because performance wise. But that's the thing. Yeah, you know, if you want to go rings or championships, Royal Rumble titles, man, Austin with the 3.
Well, that's what always separates. That's how you separate the legends. You know, it's because they have all the accolades. They have, you know, they've given the great performances. So how do you separate the legends? You separate them by what they've won and how many times they've won.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately, you know, there are times. I mean, I have this debate with friends and coworkers all the time, like where they say, well, you know, so and so has a ring, but so and so doesn't, so he's not Hall of Fame worthy. And I'm like, I think you're full of it. You know, that there are cases to be made. Will they be first ballot Hall of Famers? Maybe not. You know, like is it a huge thing? Absolutely. Is it should it be the only thing? I don't think so. And we're talking about Royal Rumbles here, like it's fucking the Super Bowl championship. But you know what I mean? That's the whole point, man. Fans' perspective, right? Here, you know, here and now, this bracket, Stone Cold Undertaker, I think for a finals is a good finals. Yeah, I mean, I agree. And Stone Cold coming out the winner, I think is the right call. I probably would have taken Shawn Michaels though. Not gonna lie. I don't know. I dig it. I mean, where do you guys lie, man? At Wrestling Guys PC, let us know. Who is Mr. Rumble to you? Is it Stone Cold? I think the overwhelming opinion is that it is Stone Cold based on 3. But it could be anybody, man. Was it Vince McMahon? He won a Rumble too.
Yeah, he did.
You know? I mean, come on. Let's not play games here. Right? Alberto Del Rio won a Rumble. Haven't seen him since, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's a number of guys there where you know, it could be anybody. Flair, 92, you know? I mean, hey, listen, Yokozuna. Speaking of which... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and Flair came in number 3. Not only did he win the Royal Rumble, but he also won the title.
Absolutely. There you go. And he's not even on this bracket. Come on, guys. Listen, see, this is probably going to get you. You know, at Wrestling Guys PC, let us know. We'll tell you how to run things over here. All right? Just as we wrap things up, can't even get out of my system right now, right? It's one of those days. I do want to recommend, if I got to give you a network pick of the week, if you guys didn't get a chance to see the WWE Icons with Yokozuna, it is fantastic, man. Go check that out right now.
Another Royal Rumble winner.
Yeah, 1993. And yep. He's the first one to headline WrestleMania based off of that win. All right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to redo this bracket. That's what I'm going to do. By next episode, you're going to have a whole new bracket of Mr. Royal Rumble tournaments. Yeah, if you didn't get a chance to see it, they're doing this new series, WWE Icons. Yokozuna was the first one. I thought they did a fantastic job. They interviewed a bunch of his old family. I think Afan Sika was in it. Rikishi was in it. Roman was in it. Tonga Kid. Samu, who's aged pretty well, by the way. Looks great. But a lot of people just talking about him and how great he was in the ring. Undertaker, you know, talks about him with this, like a reverence, like, you know, because they were really good friends. You know, people like that, like, if you get a chance, like, people like that who should be highlighted, who Yokozuna, one of the greatest big men of all time, but I also think severely underrated because of his size. But watch this Icons. My God, man, really, really good. And this series, I'm really looking forward to. They're going to highlight several wrestlers that I think are fantastic. So if you haven't, network pick of the week, man. Icons, Yokozuna. And as we wrap it up, I want to throw something to you. A couple of releases in the past 48 hours. Lars Sullivan and Steve Cutler, formerly the Forgotten Sons and the Knights of the Lone Wolf. How you feel about those?
I mean, is there anything to really feel about it? I mean, Steve Cutler, you know, I thought the Forgotten Sons, when they were on NXT, maybe could have had like a NXT tag title run. When they went to SmackDown, I was just like, oh, okay. And then they disappeared almost immediately, you know. Jackson Riker, a lot of controversy surrounding him, so they weren't seen. You know, so even to hear, and you mentioned them coming back and kind of teaming up with Baron Corbin for a little while, but it's just like Steve Cutler released, and you're like, oh, because there was no reason for us to care while he was there, so why should we care that he gets released?
Yeah.
You know, and that may sound, I know it's a man's job, but listen, that's just the reality of it too. It's, you know, why should we, you know, as fans, you're just like, oh, I forgot he was even still there. Same thing with Lars Sullivan. Like, hearing Lars Sullivan's name, Lars Sullivan just released, I'm like, you know, like, oh, I forgot he was even there until he's mentioned that he's not there anymore. you know, and a lot of controversy surrounding him too. When he was in NXT, I thought maybe he could be like their monster or their Braun Strowman in a way. And he was supposed to come up to the main roster with a major push, going after John Cena, having a Mania match, but he had some sort of anxiety attack. Then he suffered an injury. They kept him off for like a year, comes back, feuds with Lucha House Party, and then is never seen again. So it's just like, I guess, you know, it's two guys who now, as of right now, don't have a job. Maybe with Lars Sullivan's case, at least you can look at missed opportunity. There's also some things that he needs to be, that he needs to take responsible for in his personal life, things that he did and was, you know, there's a reason why he was controversial. They're not going to suffer because they're gone.
First of all, you're cold-blooded, man. Jeez. damn, you just screw that motherfucker. No, so yeah, listen, with Cutler, it is what it is. It sucks that he got released, but you know, it also sucks, and it's also ironic that Jackson Ryker, who got the Forgotten Sons in hot water and potentially lost out because of his stupidity, got them out of a potential SmackDown tag title run, because look, they were gonna have a significant push, and he still has a job.
Yeah,
Steve Cutler doesn't. You know, and I think that's the irony does not escape me there. I think that's very, very weird. Lars Sullivan, I was not a fan at all. Didn't like him in NXT. I hated when he came up to the main roster because he looked like every stereotypical big man. They come in, they wreck shit. Eventually, they gotta lose, and when they lose, they just fall off the face of the earth, and they're like a shell of themselves. I didn't like the work, like the way he looked. I hated the way he cut a promo. I hated, you know, like those promos he cut on SmackDown prior to him leaving permanently with Michael Cole was even weirder. And like you said, he was supposed to have a match with Cena at Mania, but then the anxiety attacks on top of the injury, and then on top of the stuff, this homophobic stuff that he was posting on these message boards, and then he himself appearing in a gay porno flick.
Really? I didn't know that part.
Oh, man, dude, I could drop some knowledge on you when we're done recording here. And then, you know, him tweeting or DMing these girls on Instagram and asking them for pictures and stuff. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't released a lot sooner.
Yeah.
And they still brought him back with a significant push on SmackDown. They drafted him over, and then he fell off again. To me, with Lars Sullivan, it's good riddance. A guy like that, I don't know about missed opportunity. For me, I'm just like, you know what? He should have never been there in the first place. Once they found out what he was doing and all this controversy, listen, you give people the benefit of the doubt. I understand that. But it was one after another, after another, after another. A guy like that shouldn't have been there after the maybe third or fourth offense. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree. And you know, like I said, he does have some things that he needs to be held responsible for and take responsibility for. I say missed opportunity as somebody who may have been another Braun Strowman type of I don't know if I'll go as far as say star, but he was another guy that they could have had and could have maybe built something around. And his own stupidity mixed with his injury and his anxiety attack, it just wasn't meant to be. But I was, like I said, when I heard that they released him, I was like, I didn't even know he was still there. I thought they released him last year.
And just stupid, just release. And just as you're talking, look at this picture and tell me that's not Damian Priest. Yeah. It is the spitting image. I'm pretty sure this guy's his father. Or is Damian Priest in the flesh?
Gotta post it.
Every time. I'm going to post this on at Wrestling Guys PC and tell me this does not look like Damian Priest. I'm actually going to tag Damian Priest.
Yeah, let's tag Damian Priest and see what he says.
yeah, that's great. And it's funny, but the minute I saw him debut on NXT, I'm like, yo, he looks just like that dude. anyway, as we wrap this up and we say goodbye, who you got in the Super Bowl this weekend?
You know what? I'm going to go Tampa Bay.
I want Brady to get the 7.
Yeah, I think Brady has proved that he was the guy in New England, not Bill Belichick. He's the ageless wonder. I mean, Tom Brady, what can you say about the guy?
He's the GOAT. I think there's no conversation. You know, people say it all the time. To me, I think I would like to see him get the 7 yet, just to prove that he didn't need Belichick all along. But if Mahomes gets it, listen, I have no dog in this fight. If the Chiefs win, I think Mahomes is a superstar. You know, either way, whatever. As long as it's a good game and we have a game. It's not like, you know, a blowout or something like that. Last year's game I thought was pretty great. Whatevs, let's enjoy it, just like you just enjoyed this podcast with us. And as we wrap this up, I want to say thank you to everybody who's subscribing, everyone who's listening, everyone who's leaving us a review. You can find us wherever we get you podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, we're everywhere, man. We're everywhere. Like a plague. We're sleeping in everything. All right. Thank you for joining us. Leave us that 5-star review wherever you grab us. Just makes us, you know, a little more prevalent at Wrestling Guys PC, at FPP Show. Did I get it right this time?
You got it.
How you doing? FPP Show on Twitter, at Wrestling Guys PC on Twitter. What do you think? Who's Mr. Royal Rumble? How do you feel about Royal Rumble 21? Fantasy book WrestleMania with us. How are you feeling? What matches do you think are happening? All that and more. You tweet at us. We'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, this has been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We came to talk about wrestling and drink some virtual beers. We're just about all about virtual beers. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear a damn mask. Virtual Quint to sign off.